Welcome to MMBT, a podcast dedicated to music, movies, books, and TV shows. I am your host, Emilio.
All right, and welcome to the final episode of MMBT, a podcast about music, movies, books, and TV shows. It's been, I'm going to start out by saying my, like, thank yous and then go from there. So, again, this is the final episode, and thank you to everyone who listened. It's been a great 3 seasons of doing this, and I do plan on doing another podcast at some point, just with a different title, so stay tuned. Probably some different topics in this one, and hopefully have some more conversations and actually be conversing with people, not just giving my opinions and that's all you listen to. So, with that being said, I want to thank everybody who contributed to this show, who gave me their thoughts and opinions as I was doing it, some of the special guests that I had on the show, who gave me their opinions on movies and TV, and all of that was a great experience. And now time for what you were waiting for, which is my review of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. And I am going to come at this from 2 points of view. So the first point of view is going to be the I didn't have expectations and I didn't have what I thought 7, 8, and 9 was going to be. And then the latter is going to be based on my expectations on what I thought 7, 8, and 9 was going to be. So let's start with if I went in with no expectations. Going in with no expectations, I thought this was a really good way to round up this newest trilogy. I thought that they did a good job of closing up storylines, of hinting at future Star Wars ideas, at basically wrapping up this saga of the Skywalker family. I thought it was a very well put together story. I thought it stayed in sync with what they said they wanted to do for what the new canon is. And overall, I thought the actors did a great job in portraying the storyline. All right. So now, this is where spoilers come in. So if you haven't seen it, turn off the podcast and go watch The Rise of Skywalker, because I'm going to start talking about scenes and giving my critique. So with that being said, I thought there were certain scenes based on no expectations that were not as great as they could have been. One of them being Han and Ben Solo's conversation. It was a good way to draw that back in and give fans what they wanted, which was Han Solo throughout this trilogy. But at the same time, it was a little too what is going on here to actually work for me. And that's kind of where my issues lie with that scene. I also thought that there wasn't enough given in the storyline to show that transition back from Kylo Ren to Ben Solo. And if the true idea was to show the redemption of how the Skywalkers always redeem themselves, it didn't necessarily do a good job. The second critique I have is, if you were going to do that, it was a little too cliche to have Ben be like his grandfather and suffer the same kind of death to save the Jedi. I will say, however, the nice thing about it is they didn't, unlike Return of the Jedi, where they made Anakin a Jedi ghost, I feel like J.J. Abrams realized a mistake in that and didn't make Ben a Jedi ghost just because of one action that he did. And so it was a positive on that. Kind of to wrap up this first part, because there's so much that we could go over. I mean, the final thing is like the whole Palpatine storyline, which, if you were taking this as a standalone and you hadn't read any of the novels in any way, either new canon or what was actual canon until Disney messed it up, you wouldn't understand the significance of this. And I think that's something that should have been developed a little bit more in the movie, so that you could see that it was about showing redemption and that your family is not who you are born into, but who you create. And the fact that Rey created her family, which is the Skywalker family. With that being said, going into it, not having expectations, this would be a very good movie. You will love it, enjoy it, and you will walk away satisfied for multiple different reasons. All right, so that's the end of part one. All right, so we're back. Part two. Coming into it with expectations. So, as I have stated previously, with Last Jedi and some of the other Star Wars stuff that's happened, I have a preconceived notion of what 7, 8, and 9 should be. And based on that, this was a terrible movie. And very unsatisfying. And it was just not what I was wanting. And those of you who've listened to my podcast on The Last Jedi will know that the reason why is because George Lucas and Timothy Zahn and all the writers of the 80s and 90s novels had a clear definition of what going into 7, 8, and 9 was going to be. And you could tell it was getting set up for something very different than what we got. And I feel there's characters lost that really were enriching for the Star Wars universe, like Mary Jade and, Ben Skywalker instead of Ben Solo, and having the Jedi twins factor that Han and Leia have their own set of Jedi twins, and all this stuff that was really good and would have made this trilogy so much better, even if you didn't keep the canon exactly the same, but you kept those principles and put it into 7, 8, and 9, would have made this 10 times better. And so, however good this is not going to be great for me because you didn't have that stuff. What I do like is that they do bring in Darth Plagueis and that whole series of canon books and kept those canon that came out in the 90s that talk about the Sith Lords and all that and the legends and the fact that what you think of as all of that is what you got to see on the screen. And that was actually pretty fantastic to see. And I will give it to J.J. Abrams and everybody who was involved with this film that they did a fantastic job of bringing that back in. And giving some of the what was original canon, making it canon again. And from a perspective of having expectations, I'm glad that they didn't make Rey an actual Skywalker, that she actually was her own character. That you find out is actually, you know, a Palpatine. Because I think that made it solidify that you have new canon, which the saga needed in order to wrap up and move forward. The things that I will say that, you know, from a perspective of having expectations that I did like, was I liked the fact that they kind of reiterated some of the traits of the Jedi over and over again that are not necessarily great traits, and they re-upped it. And brought it home that all this is a balance and that we have both good and bad. And even from this perspective, I like the fact that they ended it with a, you choose your family when you get older, which I think for a lot of people who are LGBTQA+, you are going to appreciate that. There is a big emphasis on you choose your family. And I feel more and more movies need to have that. And this movie does a great job of talking about that. Finally, let's go over, since we brought up LGBTQ, let's go over the fact that the only gay couple that we see in the Star Wars universe is going to be somebody in the background kissing their significant other, who one of the two actresses had 30 seconds of talk time in the movie. While that's great representation, it's not the be-all, end-all that we need for this day and age. All right. That is the second part. Stay tuned. I got one more segment coming up here, and we will be right back. All right, so we're back, and this is the final segment of the final episode of MMBT Podcast. And so I'm going to conclude this by actually just talking about the start to Doctor Who, the latest series that just started up here, and giving my thoughts on that before I sign off and start up a new podcast, hopefully in 2021 for you. My thoughts on this are, again, if you haven't watched it, turn this part off, come back, because I'm going to go over some spoilers here. You know, the reveal of the Master and everybody being like, but they killed the Master and blah, 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 blah. People need to remember Doctor Who history and that the Master always seems to be dead and always seems to have a way to come back. And that's what makes Doctor Who great, is the fact that it's these characters that can return over and over and over again in so many different ways, including the Doctor, him or herself. You know, let's face it, David Tennant's Doctor regenerated into David Tennant again. So if that's possible, anything is possible in Doctor Who. And we'll find it fascinating to see how the companions take this. Since they don't really know that the Doctor is a Time Lord yet. They know that she's alien. They know that she's something other than somebody from the planet Earth. But they don't really, because it's a completely new reboot almost from square one, they don't have that frame of reference that she's a Time Lord yet. And so, to me, the fascinating part about this and what will be interesting to see is how they relate to this and how she explains Time Lord and all of that to them going forward. Finally, I like the fact that they're kind of pulling in characteristics from all the previous Doctor reboots to create her Doctor. So that you can see that although she has transitioned into being a woman from being a being a male Doctor, she still has all those experiences of her past lives stored within her in some way. So I just thought I would end it with a little Doctor Who, because we know I like Doctor Who along with Star Wars. And just leave you with a nugget that maybe going forward, whatever podcast I do next, we'll have something about that in it. So with that, I'm going to sign off to you one final time, saying peace, love, and joy to all of you out there in listening land.